When we bury sin, we get buried by sin. When we expose sin, we get set free from sin.
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
Hey, this is John Couch of This Day Ministries. Thanks so much for tuning in to This Day in the Word. Do you hunger and thirst to have a deep, intimate, personal walk with the Lord? If so, humility is the ticket to get there. Let's take our Bibles together right now, and let's turn to Psalm 139, looking at verses 23 through 24, as we listen to the first part of the message entitled, Search Me, O God.
Praise be to God, amen?
Amen.
That our God is gracious, and He's forgiving, He's loving, and that I love the scripture where it says that even when we are faithless, He is ever faithful. Amen. And so that gives me hope. I pray that gives you hope today. And so let's just pray here. Ask God to do a work that only He can do. And then we're going to get after it. Lord, we just come before You. Our heads are bowed. Our heart is desperate for You, God. God, we just hunger for You. We thirst for You. In a dry and thirsty land. God, we need revival. We need awakening. God, I pray that You just stir in our midst today. God, bow Your ear down to us right now, will You? Hear our cry. Hear our desperation. God, I pray that a revival and awakening would take place in each heart, my heart, every heart in this room today. God, I just pray we'd be stirred. And I pray we'd be gripped by Your greatness. God, I pray that that would be our prayer right now. That as we open Your Word, I pray we would continue to worship through the Word. I pray that the Holy Spirit right now would illuminate in such a way that no matter what baggage we brought into the room, that we're just focusing on You, Jesus, and nothing else. Your glory, Your praise, exalting You, making much of You, giving fame to Your name. Oh God, we pray right now, do a work in our midst today. And we'll be quick to give You all of the praise and all of the glory. And we pray this in the mighty and the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people shouted, amen. Amen. Take your Bible. Let's turn to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, a familiar passage, but one that has greatly gripped my heart as of late. Because I am greatly stirred. I am fervent in prayer over the last many weeks with the thought and the concept that I can't shake, which is simply crying out to God for desperate revival in our hearts. Our country needs it. Our churches need it. Homes need it. Men need it. Women need it. Children need it. We need a move of God like never before in the United States of America. And I just take the approach, why can't it start with us? I mean, that's kind of how I approach things. Like, we can wait all day long, we can even pray all day long for someone else to go do it. And I think sometimes we substitute praying for obeying. Sometimes God just says, look, I've already given you the Word, and the Word is to trust Me. Sometimes I've given you the Word, God says, and it's to walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by checkbook. Walk by faith and not by circumstance. Many times, God does His greatest work in the people that refuse to play it safe. And so we need a move of the Lord, amen? This revival I'm thinking of is true revival that really begins when we become undone. You think of that text in Isaiah 6, 1 through 8, where Isaiah sees the glory of the Lord. And his only response is not cool. It's not wow. It's not, hey, you know, can we get a selfie of us together? It's not any of those things. It's simply, woe is me, for I am undone. So I believe the reason that we're not experiencing revival and awakening in America is because we're not undone. And Jesus asks us, He demands of us, that if we're really going to take up our cross and deny ourselves and follow Him, we will become undone. I love how one man said it years ago, A.B. Simpson. He said, the chief danger of the church today is that it's trying to get on the same side as the world instead of turning the world upside down. Our master, capital M, expects us to accomplish results, even if they bring opposition and conflict. Anything is better than compromise, apathy, and paralysis. God, give to us an intense cry for the old-time power of the gospel and the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Amen.
Moody said it like this. Moody was great, wasn't he? You guys know D.L. Moody? Anyone heard of D.L. Moody? Moody Bible College? One guy in the back. Okay, Moody Radio. A couple of them? Okay, all right, okay. Three people are saved. Praise Jesus. Okay, well, we're going to switch gears and go to an evangelistic altar call right now. You know what I mean? Moody. You know, Moody was awesome. You know, Moody had no education. Spurgeon even said about Moody, he's the only person I know that could pronounce Jerusalem in one syllable, you know? So, I mean, this guy had a gift of oratory, so to speak. I mean, you needed a translator to understand what he was saying. But, man, God used him in a mighty way, didn't He? And this is what Moody said. Moody said, if we are going to evangelize the world, it will just take common men and women, period. Man, I agree with that wholeheartedly. That we need common men and women that will say that I will go. Send me. Here am I. Use my life. Use my life as a vessel. Use my life as a beacon. Use my life as a lighthouse. God, before that foundation of the world, You created me in that mother's womb. And God, so my life's Yours. Just take it. Let it be. And yet so many times, you know, we're grappling between the American dream and Jesus, aren't we? Man, we're pulled, aren't we? It's what I call the great tug of war. Man, is there any way I can somehow have Jesus and then also have the dream? You know what I mean? And Jesus says, look, I'm it or I'm nothing. I'm all or nothing. I have my rightful way of dealing with the people of Laodicea, is what He says. And so here in this text, it's a powerful text. It's one that you probably have imprinted somewhere in your house on a coffee mug or where have you. It's a very famous verse, two verses rather. Psalm 139, looking at 23 through 24. Because I believe that after we run hard after the glory of God in pursuit of revival and awakening, I believe the next step as we're pursuing His glory has to be these two verses. Like if all we want is the glory of God, but we go, yeah, you know what, I really don't want to go down Psalm 139, 23 and 24. We're going to end up with a lot of glory of God, which is a good thing, but we're going to end up with a heart that's truly not undone. I believe we get undone by these two verses. I believe these two verses this morning will greatly shape you, mold you, make you. I pray that it will greatly challenge you. Because I'm not here to coddle myself. I'm not here to coddle you. I'm here to proclaim the glorious truths of Jesus Christ through His holy written word. And I believe we can no longer afford to cohabitate with personal indwelling sin. Like, God's not good with my personal indwelling sin. I'll admit that. He's not good with it. He doesn't want me to come into contact with Jesus and somehow leave that equation not changed. Like, when we truly have an encounter with Christ, true that is, it's impossible to not be changed. Like, I don't have to get up here and wow you and entertain you. I don't have to have slick marketing and gimmicks and games. All we have to do is boldly, fearlessly proclaim the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's what happens. God has the power to change the heart.
Amen.
And so this morning I pray that through this message, God will greatly wreck our lives. That's what I'm praying. Now, I pray that sincerely. I pray today that every one of us, by the way, none of us are here by accident. Like God has divinely brought every person in this room today, I pray today that me at the top of the list, that He wrecks our lives. That He invades us so deeply, we're so devastated and so unraveled by His glory that the next step is just simply, oh, search me, oh God. And so the title of this message for your notes is simply this. God, give me a heart transplant. God, give me a heart transplant. Psalm 139 says this, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Two action-packed verses that have six deep truths, six glorious askings of God through the psalmist David as he writes this. Psalm 139, by the way, is one of my favorite texts in all of Scripture. It truly shows the omniscience of God, that He's all-knowing. And He knows our hearts, but there's something about us coming to Him saying, search my heart. Yes. See, the whole deal about my life and your life, that as we progress in this thing called sanctification, is that we should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and a fruit of that should be ongoing humility. Amen. Like if you're for Jesus, and yet like you've been doing this deal for years, and if you're here today going, you know, I'm about as prideful as it comes, I would reassess that conversion experience. Not saying that you can't struggle with pride, because I struggle with pride all the time, but I pray that as people look in my life, and I pray for you as people look at your life, that they will look at you and they will look into the window of your soul, and they will see a man, a woman, a student, a child, that they are growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the byproduct of that is an ongoing humility. An emptying of self, depleting of self, longing to get to the end, to get to the finish line, having died empty. Just completely empty of self. You know, David, when he wrote this, he's crying out in desperation, these words. He's crying out that these words would spill forth from the depths of his soul. As he's voluntarily asking God for his refiner's fire to investigate every area of his life. I mean, those are big boy words, aren't they? I mean, it's kind of like, it's one thing just to show up at church, kind of, you know, tip him in the offering plate, you know, give him an amen, you know, raise a hand with only one eye closed so you see who's watching you, you know what I mean? You guys ever, you know, see who's watching, you know? It's a whole other deal to go, man, put me on your operating table, God. Give me a heart transplant. Yes. You know, we're living in challenging days. I don't need to tell you that. But, you know, this watered-down, palatable gospel that doesn't offend anyone, where there's this sanitized Jesus, you know. Yes. You know, flowing hair. Yes. Piercing blue eyes. That's not my Jesus. My Jesus was slaughtered on a cruel Roman cross. Amen. He was marred beyond recognition, the text says. The word says that it actually pleased the Father to bruise him. And we're living this culture of selfism. The fastest growing religion is selfism. It's dominating us. It's destroying us. It's killing us. That's what we've got to plead today. As David simply said in the first part of 23, search me, oh God. In your notes, you want to make this note, that phrase, search me, in the Hebrew means this, to examine so thoroughly that you are found out. Man, those are like heavy hitter words, aren't they? Like, when's the last time you went in your prayer closet and you're like, God, I want you to just make me naked spiritually. Just open me up so that you and I together, that's the key. God's omniscient. Here he knows, doesn't he? I can hoodwink you. I can't hoodwink God. Amen? We can fool everyone else. We can't fool God. The whole point of this is David is going to him in humility. He's undone. He's like, oh, search me. Don't allow any stone to remain unturned. I want to be your vessel, he's saying. I want you to examine me thoroughly and intimately and to be found out. It literally gives the visual in the Hebrew language of you're digging deep down in the earth. That you're digging deep. That you're going down into the root system. That you're looking for hidden treasure. There's a furious, intentional, urgent, desperate brokenness that says, I got to get down there and I got to find it. Because once we bring to the surface what's standing between us and God, that's when the healing begins. Amen? I mean, can you imagine going to the surgeon this afternoon? Not that you're planning on doing that, unless are some of you planning on going to a surgeon this afternoon? Okay, just checking, just curious. You know, but you go to the surgeon this afternoon, he goes, yeah, man, you got a massive piece of metal that's like stuck in your thigh. And he looks at it and goes, wow, it's huge, it's rusty. Man, it's like really close to one of your main veins there and all the system that runs through the leg there. But you know what? Let's just leave it there. Well, doctor, what's going to happen if we leave there? You know, you'll probably die from some sort of horrible death because of a rusty piece of metal that's eventually going to cut off one of those main veins. Don't we do the same thing with God? He's like, I see the metal. And it's so close to cutting off your life. And what we do is we vote, let's leave it in there. And God's like, no, I want to root it out. I want to root it out of your life so you begin to walk in freedom and hope. And your identity will no longer be in what people say about you. Your identity will no longer be what others think about you. Your identity will no longer be what you're trying to achieve. Your identity, your hope, your security will now be wrapped up in the glorious, atoning, imputing, propitiating blood of Jesus Christ and Him alone.
Amen.
But man, that's hard to get to that first step of God. God, I actually want you to search me. To examine me to such a degree that nothing is left unfound out, if you will. Everything is revealed. It's exposed. Now, I made a note here. I said, we are experts in helping God search other people's hearts. I got an amen already on that one. Haven't even finished the statement. I already got an amen on the front row. Praise God. Praise God. But we will do everything in our power to keep Him from searching our own hearts. Amen? I mean, we vote yes, right? Like your neighbor sitting next to you, like, God, bring it. I'm praying for them right now. Lord, just get the metal out of their thigh. Do whatever you got to do for them right now, God. We know you can do the work. Do it now, right? And we all vote yes. We'll gather people over. We'll gather around them to a group hug and sing Kumbaya while God does it, right? I mean, we're experts. We got PhDs in everyone else's sin, don't we? Ooh, man, my church is finally going to be what it needs to be, God, when you get them straightened out. Amen? You notice where David says, search me. Search me. He didn't say search them. He didn't say search the deacon out in the parking lot. He didn't say search the piano player that misses the notes every Sunday morning. He says, search me. But yet we're so ingrained in the selfism that it's always about me, isn't it? Who took my parking space, right? Who took my parking space? You know? Who took my seat? Who? Me, though, God. It's me. See if there's any wicked way in me. What would happen in your life today, in your home, in your church, if you pleaded with God to search you? In such a way that you left nothing hidden from Him, if it was even possible. What would happen? What would happen in your life today You said, God, I want to be on an operating table. I want the heart transplant. God, I want to do great things for your glory. I want to see your glory, but I want to go to step number two, and I want you to search me. And that's why key number one in your notes is simply this. I will never experience revival in my life until I desperately ask God to search me. Let me say that again. I will never experience true revival in my life until I ask God to search me. There's no way around this. We can pray till the cows come home. And if we are going to resist God searching us, we'll never experience the bending and the breaking that accompanies all great revival movements. We have to be those people that initiate and go, oh, here I am, God, here I am, search me. You guys ever been through one of those screeners at the airports? Anybody work at the airport in here? Good. Okay, great. Great illustration then. You guys, you know those screeners at the airports that make you walk through? You know, you take off your shoes, you take off your belt, you take off your socks, you take off your shirt. No, I'm just kidding. But they got you literally doing all this stuff, right? You empty your wallet and... not there's anything in there, but you put your wallet there and your phone and whatever you got, right? Your sleep machine, you know, whatever it is. I'm embarrassed and they unzip everything, right? Oh, good grief. And so there you are. But before you go through it, that's one of the things that's like 8 feet tall, isn't it? And have you ever noticed how everyone ducks before they go in? It's 8 feet tall and everyone's like, let me duck to go into this thing. Not sure what that's all about. But I'll tell you what, they have you stand up, don't they? I mean, this isn't one of these things where you're just kind of like, you know, doing one of these and kind of holding close. No, they make you do this, don't they? And then there's the gal on the other side of the fence looking at the monitor and she's snickering, right? Right? Why? Because you're totally exposed. See, we need to go through God's airport screener today. God, here I am. Here it is. Here's a secret sin. Here are the idols. Search me, oh God. Search me. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Listen to this verse. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. That's powerful, isn't it? Lamentations chapter 3, verse 40. Let us search out and examine our ways and turn back to the Lord. I mean, we want to be resolved today, church family. We need to be resolved today to be that drenched wick. That we're like, God, we'll be the wick. We want to be drenched in the fuel. And God, we want to go light a candle on the porch of hell for your glory and for your praise. I mean, again, we live in this society. I don't know the last time I heard a sermon where like the word hell was even used. No, I'm serious. Like, I don't even remember how long it's been. So let me get this straight. If we're so afraid about offending everyone, and we don't want to use the word hell, why would God execute His own Son if there wasn't a catastrophic end in place for those who didn't place their faith and trust in Him? God's bored. I got nothing else to do today. Jesus, go down to earth and I'm going to brutally slaughter you. There's a heaven and there's a hell. And I know it's not popular. I know it doesn't draw a crowd. I get this. But there's a reality that God is storing up wrath for the day to come. His fury is being pent up. And it says this, that He is going to release it with a fire and with a vengeance. Now here's the good news. He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a loving God, amen? But a loving God also, who's holy, has to punish that which is not holy. We must become this drenched wick to light that candle on the porch of hell with your crucified life. The sincerity and the desperation of David continues when he says this, search me. And know my heart. That know my heart phrase in the Hebrew simply alludes to this, that everything that is going to be exposed will be exposed to such the degree that nothing will remain unknown. I mean, do you see how deep David is pressing in? He could have simply just said, "Search me." And like, that would have been pretty good, wouldn't it? Do you get the desperation here? He is so desperate. "God, I want you to search every inch of me spiritually, who I am, my soul, my heart. Search me, O God, but just don't end there. I want you to intimately know everything about me so that everything about me is known to you." Now again, God knows everything. But this is a great example where as the pleading and the desperation is going forth, it's a great example for me and you, the follower of Jesus Christ, that as we beseech God and implore Him, here's what happens. God isn't up there going, "Man, I had no clue you were involved in that, John. How did you pull that over on me?" No. As we confess, as we 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, if we say the same thing, we are agreeing. As we do this, God's not going, "Man, I feel better." What happens is the real transformation happens inside of us. David has given us a great model that when we bury sin, we get buried by sin. When we bury sin, we get buried by sin. When we expose sin, we get set free from sin. When we expose sin, we get set free from sin. David is imploring with a great tenacity, saying, "I want you to know me." He's voluntarily asking God, "Search me, know me." That's a glorious sign of sanctification in your life. Man, when you're getting to the point that you're not perfect, but you're going, "Man, God, every morning, man, will you just search me?" Man, you are on a glorious path that God is going to reveal great truth into your life, even in the midst of your brokenness, even in the midst of your pain, even in the midst of your disappointments. God will take all of those things and use them for His praise, His glory, as you continue to empty you of you.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.